Welcome to the radio ministry of the Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh-day, featuring the teaching ministry of Troy Gadak. You can learn more about the Church of God Seventh-day at www.cscog7.org. Now, here's Pastor Troy Gadak.
Being aggressive in witness, you know, when we're looking at this around as a body of believers within the Church of God, looking at it and saying who we are. Who we are. Do you remember when we, if we go back now, it's been several weeks, to the very beginning when we talked about what was at the heart of who we are. And you remember we talked about that it was important that as a body of believers, we are truly Christ-centered. And it all starts with Him. It all ends with Him. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. But when you look at this aggressive in witness, you say, what does that really mean now that we're, if we're truly at the heart and very beginning here, we know that we know Christ, and we must know Christ. He must be at the very essence of who we are. And we must then not only know Him, but beyond that, we have to make Him known. So what does that mean? What does that mean? It's not so much just how much that we know Him, but also our role and responsibility to share that. And that's what today is all about, to be aggressive in witness, aggressive in witness and evangelism. You know, in fact, this last coming off the convention this year in Chicago, we're looking at that around the vision of the General Conference of the Church of God that's mapped out. And that's where this series came out of, is a focus, because it's for those that didn't have a chance to go, it's important for those to hear and to see where we're headed as a body of believers and what we're focused on and who we are. And this is an important part of who we are. In fact, fishers of men is what we are called to be, not just keepers of the aquarium. In fact, that was found, in fact, from a booklet that Elder Wade Rose put together that outlines the vision of the church as we move forward. And I thought, what a great passage, what a great picture of what does that look like. We're fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. Sometimes we kind of get caught up in being keepers of the aquarium, don't we? Oh, we like to, in fact, add the new little things to the aquarium to make sure that it's vibrant and full of life and everything. We change out the water and we put in new things and we make sure that it's all scrubbed and clean. But our focus remains within the aquarium. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's important to have a clean aquarium, because you know without a clean aquarium, what happens? The fish. And the fish end up dying and perishing as a result. But I think about that beyond the aquarium, you know, there's other fishes that are out there. Sometimes we need to go to the store. Sometimes we need to go fishing in order to bring more fish into the aquarium. But how do we go about doing that? You know, we're called upon to be fishers of men, but what does that mean? And what has that meant for, and how have many viewed that in the past? And what does it mean for me today? Is this just a job that's reserved for the pastor? Is this just the job that's reserved for an evangelist? What's my role? Our role? Our individual role in being aggressive in witness? Is it just reserved for a select few people? And I simply go on doing my day-to-day living? Or is it applicable to you and to me? That's where we want to delve into, and that's what we want to look in and look at today. So, in fact, when we look at being aggressive in witness, we look at the fact that Christ-centered is where we are and who we are at the very core of who we are. And I think that's important. Keep that always in mind. Because, of course, when it comes to anything, we are nothing unless we have Christ at the center. And, in fact, that includes that conviction of ministering. The ministry of Jesus should be to inform, if you will. That should be the pattern. The ministry of Jesus is what we should do to pattern our own churches around. That if we look to Christ as being our role, as being our example, how does that become a part of who we are as a local congregation? I think that's important. I think it's critical that Jesus gave that clear message. If you recall, He came for what purpose? For the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Do you remember? When you think about that, to proclaim the good news, and that his role and his function was to proclaim the good news, and what was the good news? He said, the good news is if that which is among you, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He was talking, of course, of himself, and he was talking, of course, of that plan of salvation that he has in store for all of humanity. But do you notice his focus was reaching the lost, seeking the lost? I wonder if that still is our passion today. Do we still seek the lost? Do we have a passion for reaching the lost? You know, often one of the terms that's used quite regularly with this notion of reaching the lost is that sense of witness. How are we a witness? But part of that is not only the witness, but I think another part of that is that critical part of what does it mean to bear witness of these things? And that's where I want to delve into today. And to really look at that and say, because a lot of times people think, I've not been called to be a witness. I've not been called to be an evangelist. That's reserved for somebody else, and somebody else has been called for that role and that function. What does reaching the lost really mean? To witness and to bear witness. I think it's important for us to realize that you and I have an opportunity to bear witness, to proclaim, to share with others, because your life and my life has been changed because of our relationship with him. Some feel, no, I can't go on the corner. I haven't been equipped, and perhaps that's so true, because not all of us have been called in that sense of if you will, to witness and been called to be that evangelist that stands on the street corner proclaiming Jesus Christ, or who makes the traveling rounds on a circuit to share with others Jesus Christ. But each and every one of us has been called upon to bear witness, to share with others, this is how my life has been changed. But you say, how do I share witness? Because a lot of times, many people are uncomfortable with, it's very uncomfortable for me to sit down with the person who's sitting next to me on the flight and in the airplane and to share with them my testimony. Maybe. But how do we live our lives as a witness of who we are? How do we bear witness in our daily lives, not just the time that you sit next to the person on the plane and share with them your values and your belief? But when looking at it and saying, how can I continue to bear witness that my life has been changed? How do I show that and demonstrate that in my life every day? You know, in fact, evangelism is a common term that's often used in connection with this witness, evangelism. At the very core of evangelism is sharing the good news. And you say, what is that good news? It's the good news of the gospel. That's what gospel is. The gospel is good news. Well, what good news? It's the good news of Jesus Christ, in fact, when you look at that. It's the good news that Jesus Christ came and he lived and he died and he rose again and he has a plan for humanity and part of the kingdom of God and its fullness. That's the good news. You look back on it today, and we look back 2,000 years ago and say, that's good news with Jesus, but we can also look ahead and say, that's good news because Jesus is coming back again. Wouldn't you agree? You know, a lot of times many people just simply look hindsight for the good news. Folks, hindsight is part of it, and that's a critical part of it because that creates the very foundation that we need in our faith and our walk with him, of who Jesus is, what he did upon the cross for us. But the good news also reflects forward to the kingdom and its fullness when Jesus Christ comes back again. When you think about that, Jesus himself took upon the sins of humanity, and he took upon himself the sins on the cross. And then that through faith in him, we exchange that death sentence. Because we know, are fully aware, that the wages of sin is death. And we recognize that had it not been for Jesus Christ, we would be dead. Dead in our sins, with no hope. No hope. When Jesus took those sins upon himself, he traded out that death penalty. He took the place of our death, if you will, as a substitution, as a propitiation for our sins. And of course, through faith in him, we can exchange that death sentence. I don't know about you, but if you had an opportunity to exchange a death sentence, wouldn't you do so? When you think about that, if you had an opportunity to exchange and receive a pardon, if you will, for your life, the penalty for our sins is death, but the gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ. The eternal life in the kingdom of God. Now, you say, how does and what does that have to do with being aggressive in witness? Well, folks, that creates the very impetus for why we want to share what we have. We want to share that good news because we want others. Can you imagine if you had a chance to share that with others to say, you know what, you too can change out and can and through your faith in Jesus Christ and what Christ did for us on the cross, you too can enjoy eternal life. We have an opportunity then to bear that witness, to share with others. Can you imagine if they heard about it? I have a chance to exchange a death sentence for life. Sharing that, that's good news, wouldn't you say? You know, when I look at that, throughout his ministry on earth, Jesus continued to emphasize the importance of sharing the good news of the kingdom of God over and over and over again. But he instructed us to do some things. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, real quick, to the fourth chapter of Matthew. We're going to go to several scriptures here, but beginning in Matthew chapter 4, from the very beginning when he called his disciples, notice what he does. Notice how the emphasis from the very beginning of his ministry until the very end of his ministry continues to remain focused on this essence of sharing the good news. Take a look in verse 19. As Jesus was walking, I'm going to pick it up in verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, and for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Fishers of men. From the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, as he's calling his disciples, he tells them the purpose of why he's calling them. Do you notice why he's calling them? He's not just calling them, of course, to instruct them and train them and all, but he calls them and he gives them their purpose right up front. Notice he doesn't even introduce himself. Have you ever thought about that? He just comes up to them and calls them, but he calls them and tells them immediately what their purpose is. And folks, the same is for you and for me today. He calls us and he tells us, "Come, follow me, follow, and I will make you," he provides purpose, "fishers of men." I want to go bookends on this. Jump over to John, the 15th chapter. So I want to go to the tail end of Jesus' ministry. And taking a look at this, just days before Jesus is going to the cross, take a look at John chapter 15, picking it up here in verse 9. John 15, 9. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." And then he goes on to give them instruction. "Now remain in my love." Okay, notice that. Notice that days before he's going, in fact, before the cross and is then crucified on the cross, he's instructing his followers of that notion of love that the Father has, and he turns around and conveys to us, but he encourages us and instructs us to remain in his love. Why is this important? Keep going, verse 10. "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love." He tells us how. How do you go about remaining in my love? By following what I've instructed you to do, heeding my commands. "You will remain in love, just as I have," and notice, Jesus set the example for us, that model, "just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Isn't that a beautiful passage? When you look at it and say, Jesus set up the pattern of modeling that love and in obedience to him, that's how we remain in his love. But there's an important part of this. You say, why am I bringing this up? When taking a look at this, he tells his disciples, in fact, that just as the Father has sent him truly into the world, he now, in fact, encourages them, as he says, to remain in his love. But then as we continue on, I'm going to continue down a few more verses. Because he instructs them that not only in remaining in his love, he's encouraging them that they're going to go forth, but he's warning them that the world is going to hate them just as the world hates him. And so he's warning them of what is yet ahead of them and the concern for what is yet ahead. Verse 18, he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And that's why the world hates you. Remember the words that I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master, and if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also, and they will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. It's beautiful how Christ is showing them and sharing with them that they're about to enter not a time of bliss, but they're going to enter a time of struggles, of hardship, trials, obstacles, like you and like me. He's called us to be fishermen, but he's also telling us it's not going to be easy. And he doesn't paint a rosy picture. He, in fact, says that there's going to be troubles. But to remain in his love, and how to go about doing that is we obey him, continuing to follow all that he had commanded us. But he goes on beyond that. He shows how we're to remain in his love and to equip us for difficult times that are ahead. But he tells us don't give up on proclaiming. Not to when things get tough, stop bearing witness. Notice he doesn't say forsake that and withdraw. He doesn't instruct us to simply isolate ourselves when times get tough. But he says, I will be with you and you can abide in my love. But he gives us clear instructions as to what we're to do. Part of that's outlined, of course, in that Great Commission back in Matthew. In fact, picking it back up here in Matthew chapter 28. Beginning in verse 18. And then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he tells them, and therefore go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Notice what Christ does. Jesus models for us what he did in his focus around the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he then creates that pattern for us to follow likewise. And he shares with us that he's going to equip us with the tools necessary to go and do that which he's called us to do, to proclaim the good news of the gospel and to share that with others, baptizing them, instructing them in righteousness, instructing them to follow all that he has instructed, just as he told us and just as he told his original disciples. And embodied in that love and on our faithfulness to him, we can remain strong despite the obstacles that come our way. Even after the time that Jesus rose from the dead, the message still is the same. Turn over to Acts, the first chapter, because I want to show, when you take a look at this, we see that it's clear that Jesus is, in fact, even his parting words give emphasis of our role and our function in bearing witness. Beginning in verse 8. Let me pick it up, actually, is while they were still gathered there together, the question here that's posed in verse 6, they asked him, Lord, Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Notice their focus, which is what it had been all along through the time, is that they thought Jesus was establishing his kingdom right there and then. And notice Jesus' response. He says to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority." Wonder if the gentleman who set, who was the most recent date yesterday, that came and went, I wonder if he missed, perhaps, maybe that verse in his Bible is gone. I'm not sure. Maybe he just overlooked it. Now that May has passed, May whatever it was, the 12th, the 11th, whatever, now October the 21st, his miscalculation was there again. Maybe the next date that he'll set, I'm not sure. But I look at that and say, you know, things haven't changed much. We're still asking that same question, and perhaps we're still setting those same dates, whether it be 1843, 1844, or 2011. People are still fixated on, well, I know when Jesus is returning, and here it is. And yet Jesus himself says, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But then the focus today, that was a side note there. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be, what? You will be my witnesses. But notice where? First in Jerusalem, then in all of Judea, and then in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. What a beautiful passage, huh? Jesus is instructing them to give them confidence and to give them assurance that, you know what, he not only shared with them already, I will be with you always until the very end of the age. Do you remember that from the Great Commission? We just read it in Matthew. But now he's telling us that our role and function is we're going to be witnesses. But again, what's that function and what does that look like? I don't know about you, but each and every one of us has a Jerusalem. You and I have an opportunity to bear witness right in our own homes. Let's start there. You and I have an opportunity not to stand on your living room, perhaps ottoman, and proclaim to your family, thus saith the Lord, but in fact you have an opportunity by your example and what you and how you live your life. And the examples and the importance that you put in your family and leading and your role and your function in your family. We have an opportunity to be a witness in our family. Would you not agree? And folks, that's where it starts. Do you notice that Jesus gave us that emphasis and said, that's where it begins, at the very heart of our families. That's right there in Jerusalem. But then he said, don't stop with Jerusalem. We need to move beyond into Judea. And folks, we can be a witness and bear witness. Because others see how we live our lives. That might be your neighborhood, but you know what? That might also be your extended family. Do they know how you live your life? Are you bearing witness to the fact that you are an ambassador for the kingdom of God? Which kingdom are you representing? Which kingdom do others see in you? Which gospel do they see illuminated in your life? But beyond Judea, then we look at Samaria. Of course, our impact in our lives. That might be your workplace. That might be when you gather together with friends that are not a part of the church. Do you still share the same witness? Are you still bearing witness of who you are? And then to the other parts of the earth, we have an opportunity. Imagine our sphere of influence. And I don't know about you, but the other parts of the earth remind me that, you know, we touch a lot of people's lives in our own lifetime. Can you picture from when you were little through school, getting an education, going into your workplace, your careers, going into your families and your life? Down through the years, think of all the people that you impact, or in what way you have an opportunity to impact. Folks, when it comes to those utter parts of the earth, if you will, the ends of the earth, well, that's our impact in our lifetime. What impact are we having in our own personal lifetime? I hope that we keep focused, that we have a role and a responsibility within our families, within our communities, within our church, and within our lives. Some have said, well, that's just the role and the function of the pastor. That's the preacher's job. Leave it to the preacher. That's what he gets paid to do, right? No. I didn't quite see that right here when Jesus said, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. Was the you just preachers and pastors? And you will be witnesses? Was that just for preachers and pastors? That was for disciples. That was for those that he called, like you and like me, followers of Jesus Christ. To be a disciple is to be the bearer of good news. Wouldn't you agree? To be a disciple is to, if you will, to be an evangelist, if you will, because we have good news to share. And a good news that we share can be simply in the way that we live our lives. Boy, can that be a testimony. Have you had people come up to you and say, are you Christian? You seem, there's something different. Just in your manner, just in the way you handle yourself, just in the way you walk, just in the way you talk. You didn't wear the placard that says, I'm a Christian. See me now. No. Folks, we wear that, and sometimes, as the old adage is, sometimes we're the only Bible some folks will ever read. Are we proclaiming the Bible? Are we bearing witness? Ephesians, the fourth chapter, tells us that there are some who have been given to be apostles, some to prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, may be built up. Some folks believe, well, see, we're not all supposed to be evangelists. Well, there are some who have been called for specific roles and responsibilities, but that doesn't negate the fact that we have been called to witness, as we've just read through of several other passages, that God has called us to bear witness. It's the task of every believer. You know, I think in simple terms, I think I heard again this last summer, in simple terms, it's one beggar telling another beggar where he found food. That's what we all are, isn't it? We're sharing, and we have that role and that responsibility to share with others. Hey, I found food. Let me show you where the food is. That's great. That's a great opportunity. You know, we also see that in these verses, in fact, that Jesus left the glory of heaven to seek the lost. And sure enough, he called on us, to his disciples, to leave the comforts of their life and to likewise seek the lost. And you know what? He's called on us, you and me, to leave the comforts of our pews, to leave the comforts of our, well, if you will, our way of life that we lead every day, to reach out to others. Share with them. Beyond these four walls, how can we continue to be focused on seeking the lost? You know, there's a compelling go at the beginning of the Great Commission, isn't there? It doesn't say stay. It doesn't say sit. It doesn't say remain. That Great Commission says go. The action is there. Unfortunately, however, evangelism is often left undone. Evangelism is often, for various reasons, many think that bearing witness can be intimidating. They feel uncomfortable. Folks, I don't know about you. When was the last time that living your life as an example to others was uncomfortable? I hope we continue to live that life as often and as we can. proclaiming it every day because it becomes a part of who we are. You know, some place little emphasis upon reaching the lost. I hope we don't. I hope we focus on reaching those. I hope we're focused on making disciples as fishers of men, others as fishers of men, rather than simply as keepers of the aquarium. Evangelism is, I think, as critical to life, if you will, as it is within the local church, as worship is. You know, we come together on the Sabbath day and we worship God. That's so important. It's the very heart of who we are. But I think likewise it's so important that, boy, when we leave from here, we are bearing witness that others can see. They don't just see who we are on the Sabbath day. I hope they see us proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God every day of the week and not just on the Sabbath day. Because that's so important. If worship is the most important thing we do, evangelism is next best, if you will. From that critical and kind of standpoint there, there's where there's really no local outreach. Believers often then look just within themselves. And it just becomes a focus on ourselves. And boy, we have so much more to look at than just ourselves. Let's keep our eyes out. Seeking the lost. The church has to look beyond the four walls. The church has to look beyond what we have here. That's why within the local congregation here in Colorado Springs, we've made it a commitment to reach people who perhaps don't have a local congregation near to them. To utilize technology, to utilize the wide world web. And sure enough, to help others to see, yeah, we're all connected within the body of Christ, reaching the lost, reaching those that need and they'll have a passion for learning more about God. There was one writer that wrote, "Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but he was crucified on a cross between two thieves. On the town garbage heap, basically at the crossroads, if you will, of the cosmopolitan area, that they had to write his title in Hebrew, in Latin, in Greek, at the kind of place where cynics talk smut, at the kind of place where thieves gamble over his clothing. That's where Jesus died. And you know what? That's where the church belongs. Reaching the lost." You know, I think about that and saying, if lost people matter to Jesus, do you think they should matter to us? I think a lot about that. And you know what? We have a calling. We have a way that each and every one of us, I'm not saying that each and every one of us is called to stand on the corner. In fact, I'm not so sure that's the most effective means of proclaiming Jesus. I'm not calling and saying that each and every one of us is to give up our jobs and go out on the circuit and become the traveling evangelist. No. But each and every one of us, as disciples of Jesus Christ, called by him, can bear witness that Jesus changed my life. He can change yours as well. Isn't that a good news? We can bear that witness to others that we come in contact with. We can show daily by our example. And yes, we stumble and fall. That shows our humanity. But we also know that we can turn to him and ask for forgiveness. That's a testimony, isn't it? No, I'm not perfect, but thank God and praise God I follow the one who is perfect. That's a good news to share. Proclaim that. Wow. You know, breathing is natural for us, isn't it? It's said that we breathe in some 14,000 times in a day without even thinking about it. Imagine if you had to remind yourself that time, how many, oh, don't forget a breath, got to take another one in order to live. Thankfully, it just becomes natural, right? Let alone the heartbeat that keeps beating and ticking away. I don't know about you, but sometimes as forgetful as I am, thankfully, I don't have to remind my heart to breathe. Might not be around too much longer. But you think about that and say, I hope that bearing witness is as common as breathing. Shouldn't it be? That, you know what, you don't have to be reminded of it because it just becomes a who we are. Because remember, God has written His code of love upon our hearts, upon our minds. And it just becomes a part of who we are. We don't even have to think about it. It just becomes natural. Boy, can you imagine if that was the case where every one of us, that became our natural mode? And it just, you know, as often as we breathe in and breathe out, it just becomes a part of who we are. But you know, being aggressive in witness is something we need to take seriously. Because we got folks out there that are seeking Him. Are we reaching? Are we helping them? Are we like the firefighter that goes in and rescues because he sees a need and he knows there's a risk that unless he goes in and rescues that person, they might die? Are we filled with that passion to say, we need to reach the lost? Let's share that. You know, through our example, we can help sinners, if you will, turn sin into salvation through their knowledge and through their acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what we can bear witness. We can share with others that it's important to look at and say, you can, remember, take that sin as Jesus did upon the cross and that death penalty and swap it out for salvation. I don't know about you, when you put it into matters like that, death, sin, salvation through Jesus Christ, life everlasting, it kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Sharing with folks just that simple message, you and I have a chance to swap out through our faith in Jesus Christ the death penalty for life eternal. What a blessing. What, in fact, what good news. And you and I can take that and share that in our daily lives. That's a commitment. And that's a commitment and a realization that we need to be a people that are aggressive in witness. I hope as we leave from here today that we might ponder these thoughts. I hope that you look at your week ahead of you and say, how is it possible that I can continue to be aggressive in witness, bearing witness, sharing with others how my life has changed, reflecting in my example? Am I ambassador of God or am I an ambassador of man? I truly hope that we've decided who we are representing. Won't you bow your heads in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you have called us to be aggressive in witness. Father, that you have called us to bear witness in our daily lives, bearing witness of you, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God that is, in fact, embodied in Jesus and coming soon in the fulfillment that is coming. Father, we look forward to that day, but Father, help us to go forth from here to be aggressive in our witness, to share with others the love that we have for you, and that our lives have been changed by you, that we can swap out, not anything that we can do, but that you have already done it for us, that in fact our faith in you reveals the fact that we can exchange a death penalty for life eternal. Father, help us just to share that message with others, and so that they too can enjoy life eternal and exchanging through you and through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the belief and the faith in Him that our death penalty can be canceled as you've taken our place. Our sin can be canceled and blotted out, removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and that we might have life eternal. Father, help us to be aggressive in witness. Help us to just shine. Shine your love in all that we do, that others might see not us, but others might see you working through our lives. We thank you and we praise you. And in Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of the Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh Day. The Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh Day holds weekly Sabbath services at the Springs Community Church. The church's most recent messages can be downloaded at www.cscog7.org. There you will also find more information on the dynamic ministries of Church of God Seventh Day. Join us at this same time each Saturday for inspiring messages from God's Word.